I guess I can disclose that I have nothing to disclose. And it was the arrow.
It's the ones down there. No. I think it's
here. Which one?
I think it's these.
Yes, heading the wrong direction. Okay. And I'm used to being sort of behind the scenes. It's actually, I'm thrilled to be able to talk about one of our programs. I'm disappointed that my partners at the Connecticut Department of Public Health can't be with us today. Unfortunately, they couldn't get travel to be here because this really is a program that is about partnerships. So they helped me put together the presentation, and I will do my best with their slides. So to begin, we all know in public health that place matters. And among those places that matter the most is the home environment. So the connections between health and housing have always been there, whether it is looking at health problems, looking at issues related to safety. And the whole healthy homes approach takes a comprehensive view. Rather than looking at silos, it looks across the entire spectrum of all of those types of different programs, different sectors that affect housing, to focus on housing-related hazards. And this actually started more on the federal level, bringing together federal agencies in the 1990s. The Healthy Homes principles are pretty basic. This comes from the Center for Safe and Healthy Housing. And actually, all of the Healthy Homes approaches can be summarized with those seven principles. But training to those seven principles is a lot more complicated. So let's take a look at our state of Connecticut and why healthy homes is so important. First, Connecticut is often referred to, depending on your, what data you use and statistics, as the wealthiest nation in the country, highest per capita income. But within Connecticut, there is enormous disparity in terms of income and health. We are very, very small. I've heard us referred to as a postage stamp size state, but we are very, very densely populated. And frequently the way we even describe ourselves in Connecticut is that there are two Connecticuts. There is the wealthy Connecticut in the wealthy suburbs, and then we have urban areas where we have some of the highest rates of poverty in the nation. Now, looking at our housing stock, we have an older housing stock in Connecticut. And if you drill down into our urban areas, we have a really, really old housing stock. Our capital, Hartford, 85% of the housing was built before 1980. Just incredible. 66% before 1960. So you can imagine, with all of that old housing, all of the issues that we get related to maintenance of housing and weatherization. Another important factor looking at Connecticut is home heating sources. And in Connecticut, 48% of our home heating comes from fuel oil and kerosene, as compared to a national average, which is about 6.5%. And as we all know, there's enormous fluctuation in the cost of heating oil, which actually plays out to enormous costs for our low-income residents in being able to keep their home safe, which has also, with the Stimulus Act, been important in looking at healthy housing, because there's been a big investment on the national level around weatherization and to increase, efficiency. And then looking at health indicators, and this is just one, and this is looking at asthma. And Connecticut has a higher rate of asthma prevalence when compared to the rest of the nation. I have data from 2009, $112 million just for acute care for asthma, $32.6 million just for ED visits for asthma, and in our urban areas, two-thirds of the admissions for asthma in EDs are being paid for by public funds. So there's, in addition to the burden that we have for disease, there's also a burden in terms of economic costs to our state. So beginning in 2008, the Connecticut Department of Public Health recognized that there was a gap in services and that they needed to enhance services. So within, on the state level, they convened partners and decided to actually go and apply for some of the Healthy Homes money that was available on the federal level. In 2009, with across the Department of Public Health, they convened all the different sorts of programs in chronic disease, in environmental health, and they all sat down and began to really think about what would be needed to have a Healthy Homes partnership in Connecticut. And by 2010, they realized that if they were going to have a Healthy Homes initiative, that it's much bigger than the Department of Public Health. So they reached out to expand to more partners. So this is the vision that they came up with. Every Connecticut resident lives in a healthy and safe home environment. And the mission was to develop statewide partnerships and implement comprehensive policies and coordinated program activities to foster that safe and healthy home environment, to reduce housing-related disparities and improve the public's health. So beginning in 2010, they pulled together partners. Right now, there are over 52 active partners, 52 different types of agencies represented within the partnership. On the state level, there's eight different state agencies, and within those eight state agencies, there's 16 different program areas that are represented. We have hospitals, we have university programs, including Yale and the University of Connecticut. Lots of different nonprofit organizations, from those that are voluntary agencies like our Lung Association, larger coalitions, a coalition, an anti-tobacco coalition, for example, all of the major professional associations in public health and in healthcare. Energy industry partners, very important, because some of our energy industry partners actually have some money. And, of course, our local health department partners. And when the group was convened, they set and decided on some strategic goals, one of which was workforce development. And that's what brought in the Yale School of Public Health and actually our Public Health Training Center to this initiative. Actually, we have a very successful history of collaboration with our Department of Public Health and even working with environmental health professionals in our state. We did a wonderful project using preparedness monies, putting together a pocket field guide, and we had done a lot of training in the past, so we already had that relationship. The department knew that for workforce development, they really needed to reach out on the local level to sanitarians and to all of the Healthy Homes Partnership members. And we also had a new grant from HRSA, so we actually had some resources that very fortunately, we could bring to the table. So within the larger collaboration, we had work groups. One of the work groups was specifically focused on workforce development. Yale and a number of other partners sat on that work group. And we looked through first the literature and looking specifically at what CDC advises for Healthy Homes initiatives. And of course, there are lots of trainings that they have developed, but they specifically mentioned that these trainings need to be supplemented, that you really need to have additional trainings that look at what happens in your local level. So our goal, we did a needs assessment and came up with a workforce development goal that looked at interdisciplinary knowledge of home hazards. So our webinar series was born. We, working with the Department of Public Health, have planned webinars. Usually we try to do them in packages of three. We find that kind of works nicely. We have included national subject matter experts, but also have brought in people from the state and local level. And we have offered CEUs for all of our webinars, and I'll get a little bit more about that. It has been a completely collaborative process with the Department of Public Health and the Healthy Homes Initiative partners coming up with the topic ideas. Frequently, it is the Healthy Homes Initiative partners that identify our speakers for us. It's wonderful. It actually is a very easy series to plan. And we have gone back and forth between, as you can see, when we identify the topics, we do more of the coordination for the actual webinars, working with the speakers to identify learning objectives. They do more of the promotion for us. We actually manage the CEUs and host the broadcast and handle the evaluation. Those are the topics that we have covered thus far. You can see they range sort of the all over the gamut in terms of different areas that we've covered. The audience has varied on these. We frequently get people from around the country. We try to focus first on Connecticut, but we find we get people from all over the country depending on what the topic area is, and because there's Healthy Homes initiatives all over the country too. Our webinars are all pre-approved for CHES, CPH, and NEHA credits, including the Healthy Homes Specialist CEU that NEHA offers. When we use Train as our learning management system for all our webinars, which is wonderful because it automates a lot of this process for us, including the evaluation and awarding of certificates. We use GoToWebinar as our platform, which is nice because we can record the broadcast as Window Media Player files. And then once we do that, we actually send the file back up to the Connecticut Department of Public Health, who has a media site account. They convert the file so that it's available for on-demand streaming. And then we repost the course on Train as an on-demand course, which people can take so you don't have to actually be on the webinar to benefit. And once again, people can get CEU credits by taking the evaluation, even from the on-demand. So in terms of our results, we have 825 completers. For those of you that are HRSA grantees, that means people went all the way through and took the evaluation, but we actually have many more people than that actually have taken our webinars. We show solid gains in learning, although it does sort of vary from webinar to webinar. In some areas, I can see that we get people that are more from that field. Most people are actually, very positive about the applicability of this to their actual practice, and 45% report that they're actually going to use this towards certification or CEUs. So it has just been win, win, win. Everything is driven by the needs of the Healthy Homes partners. The other thing that has happened over the past 2 years is that the funding for the Healthy Homes initiatives was cut on the federal level. But the webinar series has been a way of kind of pulling everyone together, allowing partners. It gives us something to plan for as partners. It has enabled the health department to reach out to many, many more people than they could with a face-to-face training. We've been able to raise awareness, bring in new partners because of the training. The webinar format has been very well received because of the flexibility. No one has to travel. And we've been able to bring in national experts. You know, that's something that with no travel and very limited budgets, most people on the local level never get access to national experts. So we're able to do that. So that is our program, and that's the end of my presentation. Thank you.